40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and cheer for the Copa America Centenario football tournament here in the United States. The field for the quarterfinals is almost complete. 7 of the last 8 berths are finalized. The final team will be either Panama or defending Copa America champion Chile, who play each other Tuesday night in a Group D match at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 7 teams through to the quarterfinals are, in alphabetical order, Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, Mexico, Peru, the United States, and Venezuela. Joining us now with a preview of Monday night's matches is VOA sports reporter Ben Cento. Sporty greetings, Ben.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tonight's matches will be Mexico versus Venezuela in Houston, Texas, and Uruguay versus Jamaica in Santa Clara, California. The top spot in Group C is on the line in Mexico versus Venezuela match. Both Mexico and Venezuela have already secured a spot in the next round, but don't expect either squad to sit back and watch this game go by. The loser of this match will likely play Lionel Messi's Argentina, something to be avoided to say the least. The Mexicans have won 12 of their previous matches against Venezuelans, and the Mexicans should get a good crowd support since Houston is just a few hours' drive from Mexico. Meanwhile, Uruguay and Jamaica have been disappointing in the Copa America, having already been eliminated. However, they look to end their campaigns on a positive note. Uruguay and Jamaica have a combined 0-4 record and a combined 1 goal in the tournament, but ending with some points might quell some of the groans from the fans at home. In Sunday night's Copa America action, Ecuador defeated Haiti 4-0 near New York City, and Peru eliminated Brazil 1-0 in Foxborough, Massachusetts, on a controversial goal by Rui Diaz that appeared to be a handball. The 5-time World Cup champion Brazilians immediately protested, but after a lengthy discussion by the officials, the goal was awarded. It marks Brazil's first loss to Peru in more than 30 years. Brazil is also eliminated after having reached at least the quarterfinals of every Copa America since 1993. In the quarterfinals, Ecuador will go against the United States on Thursday night in Seattle, Washington, while Peru will play Colombia on Friday night near New York City. I'm VOA's Ben Cento. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ben. Football action is also continuing at the European Championship in France. Joining us now with an update is VOA sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The opening matches of Euro 2016 in France continue as 6 teams played their first game of the tournament on Sunday. Croatia and Turkey kicked off play in Group D at the Parc des Princes in Paris as the Croatians took the 3 points 1-0. Real Madrid's Luka Modric scored the game's only goal for Croatia, a stunning volley from over 20 yards out in the 41st minute. Poland and Northern Ireland began Group C play in the southern French city of Nice as Poland won behind a 31st-minute goal from Arkadiusz Milik, and Germany kicked off their Euros with a convincing 2-0 win over Ukraine in Lille near the Belgian border. Manchester United's Bastian Schweinsteiger scored for the world champions, as did Skrodran Mustafi, whose 19th-minute goal was the difference. As for Monday's schedule, 1 game is already over. Defending European champion Spain defeated the Czech Republic 1-0 in Toulouse. It was Piqué getting on the end of a cross from his Barcelona teammate Iniesta in the 87th minute who finally broke the deadlock and got his country off to a great start in their title defense. The Czech players were understandably disappointed, but as their captain said before the match, Spain is a tough team to beat.
Obviously, these type of guys are a pleasure to watch. All of them, what you named, Silva, Cesc, Iniesta, when they have a ball, it's a red alert every time.
That's Tomáš Rosický, captain of the Czech team. Other games on the schedule for Monday include the Group E opener as Ireland faces Sweden in Saint-Denis, and a marquee matchup between two very talented teams as Belgium takes on Italy in Lyon. The group stages for the Euros will continue until June 22nd, with the top two teams from each group, plus the best four third-place teams, advancing on to the knockout stages. Violence has marred the opening matches of the tournament as fans from different countries have clashed outside and in stadiums since the games began. A large fight between English and Russian fans broke out when a group of Russia supporters rushed into the English supporters' area following the final whistle of their 1-1 draw in Marseille. As a result, UEFA has threatened to disqualify both nations' teams if there is another violent incident, and the French government has banned alcohol from stadiums and fan zones for the duration of the tournament. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. Three-time world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali was buried last week in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, after tributes from around the world. Ali died June 3rd at the age of 74. Muhammad Ali meant many things to many people during his career. He was a humanitarian, a human rights activist, as well as a global sports ambassador. VOA's Deborah Block visited a boxing gym here in Washington to get reaction from some fighters on Ali's legacy.
These top amateur and professional boxers sparring at the Washington, D.C. Department of Recreation's Headbangers Gym were not even born when Muhammad Ali was in his prime and winning major heavyweight competitions. But Patrick Harris, who grew up in a boxing family and knew of Ali's triumphs early on, says Ali's influence on his career is undeniable.
I have confidence in what I do, had that mentality that nobody can beat me.
Anthony Peterson says Ali showed him how to be strong.
Never be afraid of your opponent and have fun.
Kazakh fighter Chingizhan Tajibai came to the gym 3 years ago to continue his boxing career in the United States. One of Ali's most famous quotes made an impression on him.
I like his leg moves, like a fly, like a butterfly, and the sting, like a bean, you know. That was one of the lessons which I learned.
Raynell Williams thinks Ali's accomplishments were felt around the world.
Because he'd go to these different countries and had these big fights.
Head trainer Barry Hunter appreciates that Ali took boxing to a whole new level and made it into what it is today.
Changed boxing forever. He brought the big dollars to boxing. He brought all the star power to boxing. He brought the style to boxing.
Hunter also admires Ali for standing up for his beliefs, especially black pride and defying racial oppression. Police officer Tiara Brown, who won an Olympic gold medal in boxing in 2012, calls Ali inspirational.
He was a civil rights activist, and he was a great athlete. He motivates us to be all that we can be.
18-year-old Duke Reagan says his dad always talked about Ali and said the young Duke reminded him of the great fighter.
And he always said that my dad was strong in my left hand, so he always said that I was going to be another Muhammad Ali, just a shorter version.
Keithland King from the Caribbean country of St. Vincent and the Grenadines says what he respects most about Ali is that he was a good man.
So I try to live something like Muhammad Ali. I try to be good to everybody. That's one thing I love about Muhammad Ali. He was a great, great, great person.
Deborah Block, VOA News, Washington.
He talks a great deal and brags indeedy of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a running with cash.
Show me the money.
This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
The sentencing hearing for South African runner Oscar Pistorius began in Johannesburg Monday. The former Olympic athlete faces at least 15 years in jail after an appeals court overturned a lesser judgment and convicted him of murder. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The former icon is now a broken man, Oscar Pistorius' psychologist says, and needs a hospital, not a prison cell. The athlete was back in the dock Monday after an appeals court convicted him of murder for killing his girlfriend in 2013. Now he faces a minimum sentence of 15 years. The sentencing hearing will continue Tuesday before Judge Tokozile Masipa. Psychologist Jonathan Schultz said the events of the past few years have taken a severe toll on Pistorius.
Mr. Pistorius has elevated levels of anxiety that are clinically significant. These include symptoms and signs of social phobia, agoraphobia, and panic disorder. In terms of his general mental health, it was found that he had deteriorated since 2014. Apart from a worsening in his clinical condition, he has become despondent, lethargic, and disinvested, leaving his future in the hands of God. In layman's terms, one would describe him as broken. In my opinion, his current condition warrants hospitalization.
Indeed, it has been a trying few years. Pistorius says he is constantly racked by fear and anxiety. He continues to insist that he mistook his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, for an intruder when he shot four times through a locked bathroom door, killing her on the night of Valentine's Day 2013. Prosecutors argued that he meant to kill Steenkamp when he shot through the door at his Pretoria home. The lengthy murder trial was closely watched around the world, and outrage ensued when Judge Masipa convicted him in 2014 of culpable homicide, equivalent to the U.S. charge of manslaughter, and gave him a five-year sentence. He was released on parole in October after a year of time served, only to see his conviction overturned and replaced with a murder conviction in December. Schultz says he believes Pistorius would be detrimentally affected by more prison time, and that he should instead be given a chance to make a positive contribution to society. But for the most part, these pleas for mercy have been drowned out by howls of opposition. Recently, Schultz said, a shopper at a supermarket complained about Pistorius' presence in the store and demanded that he leave. Just four short years ago, Oscar Pistorius was riding high on a wave of public adoration after being the first double amputee to compete in the Olympics. Today, he's grayer, thinner, a little bit more bent, and his life has been redefined not by his achievements, but by the life he took on that horrible night. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals resume later Monday night in Oakland, California, where the defending champion Golden State Warriors will host the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. It's must win for the Cavaliers. They trail 3-1, and they're facing elimination in the NBA Finals for a second consecutive season. Joining us now here in Studio 22 is VOA Sports reporter Tadi Abeje, who is closely following the NBA Finals. Sporty greetings, Tadi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Tadi, one of the big storylines ahead of Game 5 in Oakland tonight, the suspension imposed on Golden State star Draymond Green. Draymond won't play tonight, Tadi. Tell our VOA listeners how Green's penalty came about.
Draymond Green is going to be suspended for Game 5 for his accumulation of flagrant fouls that he committed in this year's playoffs, not for the one that he committed on LeBron where he hit him very low. The accumulation of the flagrant fouls that he committed in this year's playoffs.
Now, Draymond seems to have an affinity for that region of the anatomy, Tadi. What do you think? He's been involved in some other skirmishes with other players during these playoffs.
Yes, he was involved with Oklahoma City star Steven Adams, and while he was trying to draw a foul, he flailed his arms and his legs accidentally hit Steven Adams in that section. And he's an emotional type of player, and he's very temperamental.
Emotional player. Now, that emotion will be lacking tonight, Tadi. How big a loss will his absence be for the Warriors?
It is a big loss, but as long as you have the two-time MVP, Stephen Curry, and he got a stroke back in Game 4, scoring 38 points, they should be fine. They should close this out tonight.
Toddy, at this stage, both teams, the Cavs and the Warriors, they know each other pretty well. Do you expect Cleveland to make any big adjustments to stay in the series?
Well, the Cavaliers' big adjustment has to be LeBron. He has to attack the basket. He has to be looking to score when he attacks the basket, not to pass. In Game 4, he was way too passive, especially when he was attacking the basket. He came out small when his team needed him most in Game 4. So he has to set the tone by attacking the basket and looking to score early and often.
Toddy, getting back to the Draymond-LeBron incident, does it kind of, in a way, symbolize that these teams really don't like each other much?
To me, it's just competition. Everyone's trying to compete to win the championships. Things happen. People say things like all the time that you can't say on live radio or live TV. So it happens. It's an emotional game. Teams are fighting for an NBA championship. So It's just both teams just battling, that's all.
Toddy, the Splash Brothers, that great backcourt of Golden State, Stephon Curry and Klay Thompson, they always get a lot of publicity. Who have been some of the other Golden State players that you think have made key contributions during the NBA Finals?
I believe it's Andre Iguodala because of his defense on LeBron. He's harassing him because of his length and his versatility. He has given him problems in the past. So Andre Iguodala is one of the key role players for the Warriors that has stepped up, also along with Sean Livingston and Leandro Barbosa.
Livingston, excellent player. Do you think he would start for most NBA teams?
Absolutely. He would definitely start for the Sixers. I will tell you that, because the Sixers, they need some players on that team.
What about the Wizards?
Well, they have they have John Wall at point guard, but They could put him. They could have another point guard as well. It's not bad to have two point guards.
All right. I'll put you on the spot, Toddy. You think the Warriors will close it out tonight?
Yes, they will close it out in front of their home fans. And LeBron James, this will be his fifth NBA Finals loss.
VOA sports reporter Toddy Abeje. Thank you, Toddy.
Thank you, Sonny.
Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
We have these kind of dual soccer tournaments or football tournaments that we're looking at. And we'll start with the Copa America, which is going on right here in the U.S. And some controversy last night. Brazil knocked out in the group stage, the first time in nearly 30 years they failed to advance past that group stage, and kind of a controversial call. They were playing Peru, and one of the players from Peru knocked in a goal. It appears he knocked it in with his arm. Referees initially said it was a good goal. They went back and reviewed it, stopped play for about 5 minutes to review it, and then said, nope, it counts. There was a lot of protests from the Brazilian players and a lot of the Brazilian fans on social media as well, protesting this decision. So we're seeing a lot of talk about this, that Brazil was maybe unfairly knocked out of this tournament, maybe earlier than they should have been.
You don't often see those mighty Brazilians getting knocked out at this stage, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a surprise for a lot of people on social media that Peru, which is not particularly a powerhouse as far as football is concerned, able to knock them out and doing it in a controversial way. You know, we always love the crying Jordan memes, and they took the crying Jordan face and they put it in the center of the Brazil flag. They put it on the top of, Corcovado in Rio. So a lot of kind of jokes at Brazil's expense. I think that anytime you have kind of a powerhouse like that that maybe gets knocked out early, there are certainly going to be people on social media that make fun of them and laugh at their expense. But the fans are incensed. They said it would be one thing if the team didn't play well in this game, but they seem to have got it stolen away from them.
And while the Brazilians are packing their bags, Andrew, let's give a quick shout out to Jurgen Klinsmann and the American team. They were facing possible early elimination themselves after losing to Colombia in their opening match, but they're through to the quarterfinals.
They are, and there's a lot of excitement in the U.S. U.S. Soccer fandom has been kind of steadily growing over the past, I'd say, 5 or 6 years. And I think social media has had a lot to do with that. We see a lot of fans kind of coming together on social media to support the U.S. Men's National Team and the U.S. Women's National Team, for that matter. So with this victory and going on to the quarterfinals for the U.S., there's a lot of excitement, especially because it's being played in the U.S. as well. So there are a lot of fans who are excited to go to those matches.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. On the Facebook front, I was perusing my newsfeed before I came into the studio, and there's a nice photo of a young Cleveland Cavaliers fan who does not have use of his arms. And apparently he's also a big Kyrie Irving fan, because what he did is he used his toes to create this pencil sketch of Kyrie Irving. Beautiful portrait and very nice photo, and it seems to be trending, getting a lot of shares on Facebook. So we give a shout-out to that young Cleveland Cavaliers fan. What about the NBA Finals, Andrew? Are they still trending right now?
Yeah, they are, and they're going to be trending, I think, more tonight as the game happens. I think a lot of people are saying that, yeah, Cleveland's hours are numbered in this tournament, that it looks like Golden State can wrap it up tonight. But we'll see. We'll have to see tomorrow. For whatever the outcome will be, there will be a lot of reaction, no doubt, on social media tomorrow.
You mentioned the Copa tournament, Andrew, and also the Euro 2016 taking place in France. Another tournament that is wrapped up here in the States, the Stanley Cup ice hockey finals. We have a new, sort of a new old champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. They have claimed the cup for a fourth time. Are the Penguins trending on social media?
Yeah, a lot of people want to know, when's the victory parade going to be? So that's really when we start to see a lot of the social media, because everybody kind of comes out of the woodwork in Pittsburgh, or whatever city is, you know, hosting the championship team. They come out of the woodwork and they start taking photos and go to the parade, especially because Pittsburgh won this in San Jose, so they weren't on home ice to win it. So this will be the kind of the chance for all the fans in Pittsburgh to really enjoy that and, like I said, take their photos and share their videos. And I want to jump back, though, to what you mentioned, the Euro 2016, because you know, hockey's known for its fighting. That's kind of the big thing with hockey. Hockey fights break out all
the time. That's right. That's right.
Maybe less so in football, and certainly less so among the fans. I know there's some soccer hooliganism, but not usually a big deal. Well, for this Euro 2016, that's kind of been the big story dominating that tournament, are some of these riots that have been going on in Marseille, France, between UK fans and Russian fans. Some UK fans being banned from France because of these riots. Some fans being put in the hospital. So there's a lot of social media attention on this, some pictures of people bloodied up and people that were in some fights. But my favorite, and it may just be because Ireland is playing in a bit against Sweden, so there's a lot of Irish fans on social media, but there's a lot of talk where people are saying, well, I'm really proud of the Irish. They didn't get involved in any of this. I mean, for one thing,
they were polite.
For one thing, you know, if you're playing Sweden, I don't know how much anger there is really between Ireland and Sweden. I don't think that they're the most, you know, fervent. Certainly not the Swedes. I think they're very, you know, usually pretty calm. But it was kind of a joke that they're making at their expense, the Irish fans saying, look at us, we did pretty well here. We're not causing any riots or anything. Actually, a lot of the videos that I've seen are of the Irish fans have been just kind of them partying in the streets, singing along, these huge kind of group sing-alongs we see in the streets. So those are kind of the nice moments from the Euro 2016. We really get a sense through social media of what the fans are seeing, what the fans are doing, how they're supporting their teams.
I imagine the French security forces definitely will be on alert for the remainder of this tournament, Andrew.
Absolutely. Well, after this, I mean, even before these riots broke out, with the attacks in Paris this past November, I know for the French Open, the tennis tournament, there was heightened security. So I'm sure there is already for Euro 2016, and I'm sure there will be even more so after these riots.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And we'll see you again on Tuesday. And that wraps up the June 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
30 soldiers from Niger and 2 from Nigeria were killed in a Boko Haram attack by hundreds of assailants on June 3rd on the southeastern town of Bosso, close to the border with Nigeria. The United States condemns in the strongest terms Boko Haram's barbaric attack on the military in Niger. In addition to the soldiers killed in the onslaught, 67 individuals were injured. This latest attack, said the State Department in a written statement, further underscores Boko Haram's blatant disregard for the people of the Lake Chad Basin area. It was the deadliest attack carried out in Niger by the Islamic terrorist group since April 2015, when at least 74 people, including 28 civilians, were killed at the Lake Chad island of Karamga. Boko Haram has been fighting since 2009 to establish an Islamic caliphate in Nigeria, adhering to strict Sharia law. About 2.3 million people have been displaced, and thousands have been killed during the seven-year insurgency. Bosso is in Niger's Diffa region, where many people have sought sanctuary from Boko Haram violence. Boko Haram attacks in the area began in February 2015, with increased violence since April 2016, according to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. As many as 40,000 refugees are moving to safer environments and are in need of humanitarian aid. The United States stands by its partners in Niger, Nigeria, Chad, and Cameroon, and supports their efforts to fight and defeat Boko Haram. These countries, in addition to Benin, have contributed troops to a 9,000-strong regional task force dedicated to fighting the terrorist group. International cooperation and a comprehensive approach remain vital components of this unified effort to bring lasting peace and security to the region and defeat to the terrorists.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests that share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA.